World's economic system is run on the same lines as you don't need road manners if you drive a 30-ton truck. And the scripture has a lot to say about how the poor, how the powerless are treated, and how God looks upon the way they're treated. So we're going to be putting up a few verses from the book of Proverbs on the screen this morning and taking a look at them and thinking about them in the light of the modern world. We begin with Proverbs 22, verse 22, which says, "Do not exploit the poor because they are poor, and do not crush the needy in court." Don't run the world as if you don't need road manners if you're driving a 30-ton truck. Do not exploit the poor because they are poor. The poorest 40% of the world's population only earn 1/20 of the global income. The richest 20% of the world accounts for 3/4 of the world's income, and in that 20% are just about all of us here this morning. According to UNICEF, 25,000 children die each day due to poverty, and it says they die quietly in some of the poorest villages on earth, far removed from the scrutiny and the conscience of the world. Being meek and weak in life makes these dying multitudes even more invisible in death. Around 27 to 28% of all children in developing countries are estimated to be underweight. Nearly a billion people entered the 21st century unable to read a book or sign their names. Less than 1% of what the world spent each year on weapons was needed to put every child into school by the year 2000. And yet, it didn't happen. Do not exploit the poor because they are poor, and do not crush the needy in court. Jesus said, "The poor will always be with you." And so the Proverbs goes on in chapter 14, verse 31, throws out another warning. "He who oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker, but whoever is kind to the needy honours God." God has no more desire to be held in contempt than you or I. But it says here that when we oppress the poor, we show contempt for their maker, because all human beings are made in the image of God. Mistreat the poor, says Proverbs, and you have to reckon with God. Ignore the poor, and you will be showing contempt for your Maker. And chapter 17, verse 5. "He who mocks the poor shows contempt for their Maker. Whoever gloats over disaster will not go unpunished." Because in a sense, the way we treat the poor is the way we treat God. "When you meet the poor, says God, you meet me. And the way you treat them is the way you're treating me." Chapter 19, verse 17. "He who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward him for what he has done." This is theologically one of the most fascinating verses in the Old Testament. I just read a long and scholarly article in Christianity Today magazine in which an American scholar takes a whole look at this whole business of sin and debt, and how Jesus describes sin as a debt to God. And then there's a corollary to it. And this theologian picks out this verse as one of the most remarkable in the Old Testament. And I was humbled by that, because until I come to prepare this study series on Proverbs, this verse had never flagged up in my radar. He who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward him for what he has done. When you are kind to the poor, you are lending to the Lord. Jesus used this language of debt a lot in his theology of forgiveness. Almsgiving then in the Old Testament was seen as part of God's economy, in which you make a loan to God. And we'll come back to that. Let's move on to another verse. So Proverbs says, look, when you encounter the poor, you encounter God. The way you treat the poor is the way you treat God. And then it says, open your eyes. Chapter 28, verse 27. He who gives to the poor will lack nothing, but he who closes his eyes to them receives many curses. There is such a thing as culpable ignorance. By ignoring poverty, by shutting our eyes to poverty, we might think that one day we can stand before God and say, I didn't know. And God says, no, you can't. By ignoring the injustice of the world, by ignoring the way the world's economy is run, you are oppressing the poor. You will face me for shutting your eyes to the world's poor. He who gives to the poor will lack nothing, but he who closes his eyes to them receives many curses. And it still sometimes takes something to open our eyes. I was reading recently a newspaper article, an unauthorized newspaper article, about a leading Premiership footballer, a Welsh international. And this guy is one of the bad boys of football. He has an anger management problem. He has a very short fuse. He ended up in court on numerous occasions. You can see referees fingering the yellow card the moment they look at him. And he only needs to do the slightest thing on the pitch, you see the referees go for him, because they're tired of his abuse, they're tired of his flaring anger. And that's the public image of the guy. But he has a friend in Africa who's a charity worker. And this guy invited him out to one of the countries of the west coast of Africa. I said, come on out, spend a couple of weeks with me. Let's kick a ball with some of the kids and see what I'm doing. And this Premiership footballer went out to Africa with his friend, and he began playing football with the kids. And his eyes were opened to world poverty. This guy earns as much in a week. No, he earns more in a week than most of us earn in a year. And suddenly he discovered the smell and the sight and the feel and the sound of poverty. As a result, this guy has set up his own football league in that country. 2,000 boys play in it. They're given all the kit, they're given food, they're given training, and they play in the league. But in his league, you don't just win points. for winning a game, you also win points for going to school. So whereas only 20% of boys that age in that country attend school, in his football league, it's over 80%, getting on for 90% of the boys have regular, consistent school attendance. No one knows for sure. They reckon he sunk something like £750,000 of his own money into that scheme. But he won't give interviews about it. He won't talk about it. And the only way you'll find out about it is if a Times reporter writes an unauthorized article about it. What an example of having your eyes opened to the poverty of the world. Recently I was talking to Pauline Edwards, the pastor of the Assemblies of God Church here in Bangor, and she was telling me how she was in one of the Asian countries, and she found herself in a brickworks, and it was a very large brickworks, and she discovered tens and tens and tens and tens of young children working in the brickworks, and they couldn't read or write, they didn't go to school. And she said, why don't they go to school? They said, there is no school here. She said, well, we can do something about that. So Pauline set up a little trust fund. It doesn't cost them very much money. But that little church, our neighbouring church, has set up a school among the poor children in this brick factory. Now they work part-time in a brick factory and they go to school. They learn to read and write and learn to find a way out of poverty. She didn't know they were there till she walked, stumbled over them. When she stumbled over them, she did something. I'm so proud of what she does. I'm so proud of what one of our Bangor churches is doing. And I'm just delighted, thrilled by that work. God says, telling him that you didn't know is not going to be an excuse on the day of judgment. All of us, I know you're tired of my saying this, but you need to hear it again. We've all got the fingerprints of the poor all over us this morning. It's on our clothes. It was on the food we had for breakfast, the food we have for lunch. The fingerprints of the poor are all over us. And you pop into a shop and you see this beautiful piece of clothing for £10. And you go home and you wear it, and you know that somebody was paid 50 pence to spend hours making that. We've all got the fingerprints of the poor all over us. Not one of us can say to God, I didn't know, I didn't see them. And just in case there's any doubt, Proverbs 21 verse 13 adds to that. If a man shuts his ears to the cry of the poor, he too will cry out and not be answered. Open your eyes, open your ears. Look at the poor, says God. Don't tell me you didn't know. That's not an excuse. And secondly, God says, don't just open your eyes, extend your hands. Open your eyes, extend your hands. Proverbs 22, verse 9. A generous man or generous person will themselves be blessed, for they share their food with the poor. Generous people will be blessed. I despair of the United Kingdom. You know I do. And having lived abroad for so long in my life, I see British culture all that more sharply in all its ugliness. And yet, you know, there's sports relief, there's comic relief, there's Live Aid. And you look around, you see there's a lot of good. People get the hang of these things. Christian Aid is well supported. I hope many of you are going to go from house to house. One or two doors will be slammed on you. It does happen, but most people will, with a smile, will come and happily contribute to the world's poor. We are made in the image of God. There's a generosity inside all of us. But sometimes it needs to be coaxed out. Sometimes we just need a little bit of a shove. I came across this little piece in Bill Hybels' sermon on Proverbs. I think I pinched the title of it. It's a chapter in his book. I think I pinched the title of it for this sermon. He tells a simple story. Recently he says that one of his friends was buying groceries for her family, and she was in a rush because she had guests coming for dinner, And she was frustrated. And you know what happens when you're in that situation? You're in a rush, you're under pressure, you're stressed out. Don't you always suss out the slowest queue in the supermarket? Don't you just? You pick up that one. You really do. And there in front was a woman rummaging through her purse, desperately. And the checkout lady shouted, "What do you mean you don't have any money?" And this woman's thoughts was, "Why do I always pick the wrong queue? Does this woman not care that I've got people coming around for a meal? Does this woman not worry about holding me up? Has this woman no respect for me?" But then she just felt that push of the Holy Spirit of God. You know how sometimes God tugs your elbow? Happened to you? You're going off on one of your rants, and then suddenly God says, "Whoa, wait a minute. And she thought, "Well, perhaps I could pay the bill." But she said, "No, I can't do that. I hate giving up my money. I don't think my husband would understand," she thought. Then she looked at the woman. She says, her worn out look and her shabby clothes. And she imagined the children who might be waiting for the woman at home. Then she thought about all that God had done for her. And smiling, she leaned over to the checkout lady and quietly said, "Can you add my groceries to hers? And I'll pay for it all." Extend your hand, open your eyes, extend your hand. Because chapter 19, verse 17 says, "He who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward him for what he has done." That woman said she felt as she drove home as if she was floating. Heibel says, in an unplanned and unpretentious way, she had opened her eyes and extended her hand, and God had blessed her with joy. Compassion. Cultivating compassion. Opening our eyes. Extending our hands. This is how compassion works in our lives. Listening to the prompting of God and giving. The Bible says the Lord loves a cheerful giver. He who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord. We come back to this verse because this is what God does. When we give to the poor, we lend to God. And if you lend to God, my question is, are you giving anything at all? I could do one of two things. I could give you a book, or I could lend you a book. Now, they're two different things. If I give you the book, it's a present. If I lend you the book, I'm expecting it back. And usually I get the book back, but not always, but usually when I lend books. Different things, aren't they? So if I give to the poor, and I'm actually lending to God, am I giving anything away at all? Am I doing that? Am I giving it? If I'm lending it to God? If I'm lending it to God, will I not get it back at some time in some way? Do you know there's so many shelves in a supermarket? You can buy orange juice, you can buy cakes, you can buy rice, you can buy tinned goods. There isn't a shelf where you can buy happiness. Isn't a shelf that you can buy joy? Because that's not something you can buy. But when you give to God, he gives you joy. You lend to God, he gives you joy. Just before Christmas, this is a personal story, and how it affected me. just before Christmas, you know, Christmas was coming and the goose was getting fat and everything. So it's time to get the checkbook out and send off a check to some of your favourite charity, isn't it? You know, you do that kind of thing you do. And so I got my checkbook out and I wrote a check to one of my favourite charities. I love the work this charity does. And I wrote my check out and I put it in the post and I sent it off. I want you to know I felt good. I felt good. Yeah, I felt righteous. Oh boy, it made me feel cool. Yeah, everyone else, you know, everyone spending money on rubbish, I was giving to this particular cause. I felt good. I felt quite smug about it, to be honest. I felt pretty cool. I'm telling you now, I don't normally tell people when I do that, but you know, I'm just telling you now that I did. It's my little secret with God. It was. I thought it was pretty good. And I came back home, I felt good. Next morning the postman came and there was an odd sort of letter there. I opened it. It was the winter fuel payment for the more elderly among us. And it covered the check completely that I'd just written. And God said to me, "Here you are, Peter. You didn't give that. You lent it to me. Here it is back." Can I tell you this? You cannot outgive God. You cannot outgive God. And it's almost as I reflect on that in this verse, "He was kind to the poor, lends to the Lord." It's almost as if God at that moment was saying to me, "Peter, you lent me the money when you gave to the poor. Here's the money back. Now go and tell your church. Go and tell your church that when they give to the poor, they are in effect just lending the money to me, and I will repay them." It's humbling, isn't it? Do you not feel humbled by that? Is there not a sense of awe in your heart as you realise that your greatest virtue doesn't come near to God's? That the most grace you can muster in your heart is tiny compared to the grace that God lavishes on you. You cannot outgive God, but you'd have a lot of fun trying. You can enjoy yourself trying. Let's bow our heads for a second and pray. If the band would just join me on the platform, please. Father, forgive us, because we really think we can give to you. We really feel that we can impress you with our generosity. The truth is, we can't. Father, you will always outgive us. You will always outbless us. You will always do more for us than we could remotely do for you. It's all weighted, Lord, in your favour. Because yours is the kingdom and the glory and the power and the love. And we can only respond to it and be inspired by your generosity and be generous in our own way and lend to you as we give to the poor. Bless Sarah and the team from Christian Aid, Lord, as they prepare for Christian Aid Week in May. And once again, Lord, we pray that the people of Bangor might be as generous as they have been in previous years. And allow us, Lord, the grace to give to the poor. Because as we meet them, we meet you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.